For your key employees, a 401k plan may not be enough. For recruiting, retaining, and rewarding key employees, a 401k plan may not be enough. So what are the options beyond just a 401k plan? Well, maybe it's time for a deferred comp plan. Deferred comp plan could be a win-win for your company. So let's talk about what a plan is and what are the pros and cons. From the home base in Brookfield, Wisconsin, welcome to the latest episode of Inside Connect and Simplify, sponsored by the benefit companies. Roger here, human capital management consultant, marketing guy, and your host with a special guest joining me to talk about how a business owner might be able to expand the offerings to his key employees and end up with great outcomes for himself and the employee. Now, at the benefit companies, we work with business owners all the time. We help them get efficient and effective on the admin side of running a business. That includes benefits and retirement plans. We all know that employees evaluate all of the company's offerings when deciding on joining a company. Maybe adding a deferred comp plan tips the scales when they are looking to make a decision. Joining me today is Marty Dooley, founding principal of Highland Capital Brokerage based in Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Highland Capital Brokerage specializes in annuities and life insurance and disability and longevity planning and more than that as well. So let's start there. Marty, define for us what you and Highland Capital Brokerage do.
Well, first, thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to your audience. Highland Capital Brokerage is what's known in the industry as a brokerage general agency, but to put it in layman's terms, what we really are is a manufacturer's rep. The life insurance companies being the manufacturer of product, Highland Capital being the wholesaler, and firms like the benefit companies who are the retail salespeople who are interfacing directly with the clients and consumers that buy the product. So we represent about 40 different life insurance companies. You mentioned that we're in the life insurance, disability, long-term care, annuity marketplaces. And essentially, our goal is to make it easier for companies like the benefits company to bring product and product offerings to their clients that make sense for them.
So how did you and us, the benefit companies, start working together?
So I've been in this business since 1985. I relocated to Milwaukee in 1992. And shortly thereafter, I met Kurt Otto when the benefits companies was located downtown on Jefferson Street.
Okay. So when you and I first started talking now, I was kind of pulled toward this topic of executive benefit strategies or deferred comp as part of a topic that we might want to talk about, because I'm constantly talking with business owners. And the trend has always been, they say, hey, we need to put in a retirement plan because they don't have one. Or can you audit our current plan and make sure it's running correctly or doing the best it can do? But I've never had one of those business owners say, hey, what else can I be doing for my people?
Well, I think it's not that you're talking to the wrong people, but that maybe you're having the wrong conversation with them. I think the accountants get a lot of questions from business owners and highly paid executives that essentially say, I'm maxed out on all of my qualified retirement plans. I have a lot of discretionary income. I'd like to stick some of it on the side as a supplemental retirement benefit. What other tax preferential opportunities are out there for me to get involved with? So again, it's the questions being posed, but I think it's being posed to a different person rather than you. And I think that the conversation maybe from your end needs to change into, hey, you're maxed out on these qualified plans. Have you looked at other opportunities? Because there's stuff out there that may interest you.
All right. So what's some of that stuff?
Well, some of the stuff, you had mentioned deferred compensation to start the broadcast off. And deferred compensation is used very loosely in this industry. I'd like to refer to deferred compensation is a large umbrella where a lot of other smaller type of plans reside. True deferred compensation is an employee-employer relationship whereby I, as the employer, and you, as the employee, have an agreement whereby I owe you money. Say at the end of the year, I owe you money for commissions or a bonus or whatever it might be. And you turn to me and say, hey, Marty, I don't need all that money right now. Would you have a problem holding on to it for me and deferring it to somewhere down the road, like when I'm going to retire? So that's a true deferred compensation plan, where there's actually compensation that's been earned and the employee is deferring accepting that compensation today. However, there's a lot of other plans out there that don't involve deferral of current income. There's employer-sponsored plans where the employer is paying all of the cost or a large part of the cost. And the benefit packages range from anywhere from supplemental retirement income type programs to things like supplementing disability coverage, maybe on top of current group coverage that's insufficient. Or what's really become kind of a hot button today is, how do I incorporate long-term care benefits into my package for older, highly paid employees that are looking to get coverage today before it's too expensive because they're too old or they have health problems?
Okay, so you mentioned a handful of different types of plans or thoughts there. What are some of the benefits of doing those? There have to be pros, of course. What are they?
Will you address the primary objective of any executive benefit strategy are the three things that you noted at the top of the broadcast, which are reward, recruit, retain employees. So those are the big three, and they'll always be the primary motivation behind implementing a program. And again, any program that you're going to install, it has to benefit both sides. It has to benefit the employer and the employee. And so there's a lot of different programs that can do that. But again, I think that the overall objective is rewarding, retaining, and recruiting good hires to your company.
Okay, so what about downsides?
Well, the first big downside for an employer is there's certainly a cost that's attributable to any plan that they're going to install. So there's that cost aspect, and that's probably first and foremost in every employer's mind. But then there's other things, you know, from an employee standpoint. An employee benefit plan is what I would refer to as non-monetary compensation. It's something that they're going to see a benefit from down the road. It's deferred, or it's out in the future, or in some cases, like a long-term care program or a disability program, knock on wood, it might never be used. But it's not cold, hard cash, and so for a lot of employees, that's an issue. But again, something is better than nothing, as they say. There's other things, too. You have issues regarding creditor protection on employee benefit plans, particularly those that are owned by an employer. You have vesting schedule issues. When can I get at my money? What type of a vesting schedule is my employer going to put in? What works for an employee, etc. So while in general, I think the benefits that come off of these executive compensation strategies ultimately benefit everybody, there are downsides, and cost is certainly first and foremost with the employer.
Okay, so that makes sense to me. And also, we have to assume that there are going to be tax strategies involved too, because everything we're talking about here is going to have a tax implication. So what are some of the biggest tax issues or consequences?
The biggest tax issue is when taxation's going to occur. So, or when does an employer get a tax deduction for the plan that they installed? So on an employer-owned plan, you have a situation there where the employer is going to provide benefits to an employee, but they're going to retain ownership over that plan. And as such, the employee is not going to be taxed currently on that plan. They'll be taxed down the road when they receive benefits. Well, what that means for the employer is they are not going to get a current deduction on that plan. They'll get a future deduction. And from an accounting standpoint, they often look attractive, but it's just not going to be immediate. On the other hand, you have employee-owned plans where an employer will make a contribution to the plan in a given year and the employer will receive a tax deduction for that contribution in that tax year. The employee at the same time is taking in compensation and will have a tax liability in that year. So the downside to the employee in that situation is that they have a tax liability. But that tax liability probably only represents a third of the cost of the plan. So they're getting benefits that would cost them, you know, three times as much if they were to go out and to buy a similar plan on their own through some independent advisor.
Okay, so Marty, I assume, like what we do here at the benefit companies, there's no cookie cutter solution or plan that fits any one group of companies. Everything we do, this got to be custom designed, and I'm assuming it's the same for you. So talk about the process that you use at Highland to gather information that leads to what you actually offer as a plan design.
Well, the beauty of the plans is that they're non-qualified. In most cases, they're what is referred to as a non-qualified plan, meaning you can pretty much create whatever you want. And that's not just on a company-by-company basis, but also on an employee-by-employee basis. So inside of a company, I can have multiple plans that have a little bit different plan design for each person that's involved. But I think that the conversation really starts with just asking the general question of, what are you trying to accomplish with this plan? What is it that you're trying to do? How would you deem this to be a success 5 or 10 years down the road? And so that's the first and foremost question with any type of executive benefit plan is, what are you trying to accomplish? And, you know, who are you going to include, I think, is the next question. So it's what, and then who are we going to include? How much are you willing to spend on a plan? Things like what's important in the plan, what's a must-have in the plan, as well as what's a deal killer in the plan. And as I had mentioned before with the taxation, you have situations where an employer might say, I'm not going to implement any plan that I'm not going to get a current tax deduction on. So that's a deal killer. So now we at least know it's got to be an employee-owned type plan. So the taxation, as I had just kind of mentioned, whether or not a company is going to try to recoup some of their investment in the plan, which some of the plans allow for. Vesting schedules, as we had talked about, what's a reasonable vesting schedule, what's unreasonable, what's acceptable. And then just little options and nuances that people have in mind, like, hey, I've heard about this through a friend of mine who's got some type of a program that's doing this. Can we add that as well? And so it starts off with that type of a conversation. There's a lot of back and forth between me and whoever the key contact is at the employer's office, between the employers and the employees that are going to be involved in the plans. What do they want to see? What don't they want to see? Well, what's really going to be a benefit to them, and what's going to make this thing work overall?
Understood. And I think it almost goes without saying that this is kind of a living concept, that it's always going to be changing. So you can't throw it up on the wall and say, this is it, and then walk away.
Correct. They're very fluid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So here at the benefit companies, we found that many of the companies, really the biggest concern outside of being profitable is the employees. And over the last 3 years, we've seen that there's been a massive shift in how that's been working in the recruiting aspect, hiring, staffing, all of it. So how does what you do help an HR recruiting team win in these crazy times we're in?
Well, it's not the silver bullet to recruiting by any means, but it is an additional tool that you can have in your arsenal to attract some of your higher end employees. And I think that the executive benefit plans, while they are pretty commonplace in your large Fortune 500 companies, as a for instance, I would tell you that probably 90% of all Fortune 500 companies have true deferred compensation plans in place. But where those executive benefit plans are not as prevalent is in what I would call smaller employer markets. And by that, I mean maybe a firm that's got 20 to 25 employees and has a handful of people that are critical to the operation. Typically, that's the owner or owners of the business. Quite often, you're going to see children of the business owner that are in the business, as well as a handful of key revenue generators. Might be a sales manager, a key salesperson, someone who's in product design that's critical to the operation. So, again, smaller employer groups, but then that gets cut down into a smaller segment of actual plan participants.
So that helps me, but I always want to be real clear on this. That when we talk about what we do here at the benefit companies, it's talking about how many employees do you have? We're not focused on revenue. We're not focused on location, industry. That really doesn't matter too much to what we do. But we do want to know how many employees we're working with. So is there a sweet spot for you there?
I wouldn't say from an employee standpoint by any means. We've put in defined benefit plans in firms that are as small as one attorney and his assistant. And that was a supplement onto the other qualified plans that he already had. So I would tell you that larger companies, once you get into the 50 to 100 lives, they usually have pretty robust benefit packages to begin with. So I would say, you know, again, the number of lives, sweet spot, under 100. But more importantly, you do need a company that's financially sound, that has a history of strong earnings, that has a history and an interest in really providing for their employees. And again, in a lot of cases, that employee is also the business owner or the business owner's son or son-in-law. So have an interest in enriching a small group of people, have the financial wherewithal to do it. Size doesn't really matter, but I do think once you get into larger companies that it's less likely you're going to see that it's more likely that you're already going to see plans implemented as opposed to an opportunity to implement a plan.
Understood. Okay, so thanks for that. So first of all, thanks for being here. When I have conversations with business owners, and I mentioned this to you already offline, but I said, you know what? I ask some questions, I ask questions about what we do, but I also want to always be on the lookout for what they might be needing that we don't do, and maybe I have a guy or gal to point them to. And so I have this Rolodex, if you want to call it that, of folks that I can hand off. And that's why I love having these conversations. Yeah, you and I, meaning our two companies, already work together. And now I'll know what to look for or ask questions about when I'm in those conversations. But I also want you to know that I do that for a very special reason, because I know I only have this much knowledge about what I do. I'm a specialist in one space. We do all of these things. And when I say all these things, again, I'm talking about payroll and benefits and retirement and HR and ACA compliance and time labor management and all of this, business insurance, all of those things. My expertise is in a very small space. And it's always awesome for me when they bring something up that I can go, hey, you know what? Not me, but I got a guy or I got a gal that you should be talking to about that. And most of the time, it's actually in my own office, which is even better. But now you're kind of in that list of things for me because we hadn't had this conversation before. So now I know more about what I'm asking when folks are talking about retirement plan and taking care of their people. I can say, I had a conversation with a guy. Maybe there's a couple of things you might be considering doing. Have you ever thought about this or that? And then I can go, I got a guy you really need to talk to. So that's why it's great to have you on board as part of our team, because we can do that.
Yeah.
And now I don't have to be the expert. I don't have to learn this. I can just sit in the room and navigate and supervise the meeting, if you want to say it that way. So it's really cool about that. And I appreciate you being here. I would like you to do this, though, if you could take a minute. If I were to say you were to give a commercial about what you do and what you do at Highland, give a commercial if you can do that.
So we've already touched on the products, and I would say my expertise is in individual insurance product lines. And by far, the largest product that we're selling is life insurance products, but we're selling them for a variety of different needs. Starting with the most basic, which is just term insurance, I have a new home, I just got married, I just had a kid, whatever the case might be. I have a need to protect my income. I need to buy some term insurance. It's a very simple and straightforward sale. And I'm not going to lie, we do a lot of that type of work. But then we also do a lot of other things with life insurance, such as wealth transfer, things that involve estate planning, a lot of trust work, insurance held inside trusts to address the transfer of wealth, whether it's paying estate taxes or just trying to maybe equalize some type of a financial situation where one child got brought into the business and another child did not get brought into the business. The deferred compensation piece probably entails about 15 to 20% of what we do. Then again, there's the disability insurance. The long-term care conversation is something that has really been a hot button for, I was going to say 5 years, but it's probably been longer than that. It's as this baby boomer generation continues to age, concerns about healthcare costs and how I'm going to address nursing home if that becomes an issue has really been a hot topic with people over the course of, again, the last 5 to 10 years. And that's something that we do either on a standalone basis, individual standalone long-term care, or a lot of companies now incorporate long-term care planning into their life insurance policies, what they refer to as living benefits. So I would tell you that anything that involves individual insurance products, life, long-term care, disability, annuities, and again, the life settlement business, which is the sale of a policy by a current policy owner to a third party. Those are kind of our five major markets. We represent all the major life insurance companies that are out there in the marketplace, have access to just about any type of product that's out there as well.
Nice. So thanks for taking the time on that. And I think, you know, life insurance may just be the one we go to next when we have a conversation, because I have a few things that I learned recently that I didn't know were out there. So I think, yep. And we talked about some of those. Maybe we're going to go that route next. We'll find out. But you have a ton of info to share. So we're going to have to have another conversation about this again down
the road. I'd love to do it.
Excellent. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
So to find Marty, you go to, it's simple as this, highlandbrokerage.com. Or you can call Marty directly at 262-364-0700. And the benefit companies can be found at connectandsimplify.com, or just call me directly at 262-278-8522. And we'll help you simplify your business on the admin side so you can focus on building your business and rewarding your team. So thanks for listening today. Be well.
I'm Kurt Otto for the benefit companies. Historically, economic downturns thinned the landscape of many businesses, while also providing strategic business investment and management opportunity for savvy business leadership. Over decades, benefit company professionals have walked side by side with many businesses, building bridges over economic pitfalls and ladders to greater level of success in times of increased economic pressure. We've seen it all, solved every business administration problem. Insourcing the benefit companies is full-time access to an in-house, knowledgeable consultant with a broad expertise and experience. No single business working alone has. Your insourced benefit company team keeps you plugged into changing rules and regulations. Right now, do you know possible strategic or financial advantages to modify employee benefits? Can you implement employee retention plans? How will legislation, including the SECURE Act, impact your company? Your benefit company's team knows will help avoid pitfalls and present affordable plans, enhancing your competitive advantage. Connect and Simplify. Insource the benefit companies. ConnectandSimplify.com.